Welcome to Rapidly Rotating Records, an hour of toe-tapping music from rapidly rotating 78 RPM records of the 1920s and 30s with yours truly, Glenn Robison. We've got dance bands, hot bands, sweet bands, show tunes, novelty tunes, blues, jazz, and more on everything from Aeolian to Xenophone and by everyone from Aronson to Zerky. On this evening's show, we're going to celebrate the birthdays of a quite diverse group of artists, Carol Gibbons, Fred Van Epps, Oscar Celestine, and Al Boley, and listen to this past week in recording history. First, however, last night I came across a record in the collection which is perfectly suited for this, the first rapidly rotating records show of the new year 2007. You may well have made one or more New Year's resolutions yourself, but here's Leslie Cerrone to sing about his resolutions for 1932.
All right, boys, let's go. One, two. Just a moment. Where's Joe?
All right, coming. Here I am. Sorry I'm late, gentlemen. I'll tell you, it won't happen again. You know, I've made a resolution never to be late again in 1932.
Ha!
Last year I made a lot of resolutions. I broke each one as people always do. In spite of that, I'm not a bit discouraged. So here are my plans for 1932. Income tax collector in 1931, I used to lie in wait for with my little gun. And though I've not yet got him, my best I'm going to do. That's my good resolution for 1932.
That's our good resolution for 1932.
There was a bonny Scotsman in 1931 who made a resolution, but when the year was done, he found he hadn't used it, it was still as good as new. So that's his resolution for 1932.
That's
the
resolution for 1932.
My mother-in-law upset me in 1931. I shoved her down a grating, but that was just for fun. I hear she lies at death's door. I'll help to pull her through. That's my good resolution for 1932.
And our good resolution for 1932.
I bought a perambulator in 1931. My wife said, very charming, but there's only room for one. Why not get a baby Austin? Then that will do for two. That's our good resolution for 1932.
That's our good resolution for 1932.
I learnt a lot of new words in 1931. Says you and how okay, chief, American, each one. But now they say by British, it's what we all must do. That's my good resolution for 1932.
That's our good resolution for 1932.
Sir, what are you doing over at that there window?
Constable, I live here.
Sorry, sir, I'd have to ask you to come along with me.
You'll pardon me. I say you'll pardon me. I made a New Year's resolution, never speak to strange men. So.
To start out this first rapidly rotating record show of the new year, for any of you out there who made New Year's resolutions, that was Leslie Cerrone with Ray Noble and the New Mayfair Dance Orchestra and Resolutions for 1932, recorded in London on December 1st, 1931. If you did make resolutions, I hope you're able to stick to them. Last week, January 4th, marked the birth in 1903 in Clinton, Massachusetts, of Richard Carroll Gibbons. He studied classical piano at the New England Conservatory in Boston before going to London in 1924 with Rudy Valley to play in the Boston Orchestra, the resident band at the Berkeley Hotel. In 1926, he led his own band, the Sylvians, at the Savoy Hotel, and the following year took over as leader of the Savoy Orpheans from DeBroy Summers. When the Orpheans disbanded in 1928, Gibbons became director of light music at HMV and put together their house band, the Mayfair Dance Orchestra. In 1930, he was back in the U.S. and worked with Harry Warren and Richard Rodgers, providing music for MGM's 1930 Broadway revue, Crazy Quilt, starring Fanny Brice. He returned to London in 1931 to lead the new Savoy Orpheans, and he frequently broadcast from the hotel with a small group called the Boyfriends, consisting of members of the main band. He eventually became director of entertainment at the hotel and held that position until his death on May 10, 1954. Here's Carol Gibbons.
Thank you.
There you have three from Carol Gibbons and his boyfriends, a small group of musicians handpicked from his band the Savoy Orpheans. We began in 1933 with You've Got Everything, with Carol Gibbons on one piano and Johnny Green on a second piano. Then, from the following year, it was You've Got to Admit, and we finished up in 1934 with When It's Sleepy Time Down South, pianist and bandleader Carol Gibbons, born January 4th, 1903. I'm Glenn Robison, and you're listening to Rapidly Rotating Records, bringing you vintage music to which you can't not tap your toes from rapidly rotating 78 RPM records of the 1920s and 30s. Last week, December 30th, marked the birth in 1878 in Somerville, New Jersey, of banjoist Fred Van Epps. At age 12, he became fascinated with the banjo when he heard it played by George W. Jenkins, a conductor for the Jersey Central Railroad. His father, who was a watchmaker, objected to his musical interests, but his mother brought him a banjo and hired Jenkins, who didn't read music, to teach him. Fred also collected and studied Edison brown wax cylinders by banjoist Vassell Osman. In 1897, Van Epps was hired for regular Wednesday afternoon recording sessions at Edison's National Phonograph Company in West Orange, New Jersey, where his first accompanist was Edison staff pianist Frank P. Banta. He first recorded for Victor in 1910 and was soon recording for all the recording companies of the time. He put together the Van Epps Trio, which originally consisted of his brother Bill and pianist Felix Arndt, but over the years the group included drummer Eddie King, xylophonist Joe Green, pianist Frank Banta, and was variously known as the Van Epps Banta Dance Orchestra, the Van Epps Quartet, the Van Epps Specialty Four, and the Van Epps Banjo Orchestra. In 1921, Van Epps and Henry Burr formed a company which manufactured and sold banjos which Fred had designed. In the 30s, the banjo became less popular and Van Epps no longer made his living as a musician. He made recordings on his own label into the 1950s, with his pianist son Robert, and another son George became an expert banjo player and guitarist, and as a studio musician played with Benny Goodman, Ray Noble, Red Norvo, and others. Fred Van Epps died in Burbank, California on November 22, 1960 at age 81. Here are three from Fred Van Epps.
Thank you.
I love that quick little novelty ending on that piece. That was the Van Epps Quartet in 1921 and Vamping Rose. That's from a Canadian record made in Montreal by the Berliner Gramophone Company. Vamping Rose was preceded by the Van Epps Trio, consisting of two banjos and piano, and Florida Rag from July 26, 1912. Florida Rag was written by George L. Lowry, who recorded it in April of 1907, and I happen to have that record in the playlist. We don't play many cylinder records on the show, but we began our tribute to Fred Van Epps with the Van Epps Banjo Orchestra and Hill and Dale Rag from a 1917 Edison Blue Amberol cylinder. The Edison Company made Blue Amberol records from 1912 to 1929. The bright blue celluloid surface was molded around a core of plaster, and the records played for over 4 minutes. The Blue Amberol material is highly flammable. Last week, New Year's Day marked the birth in 1884 in Napoleonville, Louisiana, of Oscar Celestine. He learned to play guitar, mandolin, cornet, and trombone, and in 1906 moved to New Orleans, where he played in various brass bands. He first formed his own band in 1910 and opened at the Tuxedo Dance Hall, where the band was resident until 1913. He organized a brass band called the Tuxedo Brass Band, and together with trombonist Bill Ridgely, formed the Tuxedo Orchestra, which recorded for OK in 1925. The band names referred not to the Tuxedo Dance Hall, but to the band's standard attire of tuxedos. Oscar Celestine left the music business during the Depression and worked at a shipyard. After World War II, he returned to music full-time and appeared on radio and television. He died in New Orleans on December 15, 1954, of stomach cancer. Here's Oscar Papa Celestine.
Thank you. Thank you.
The original Tuxedo Jazz Orchestra and Black Rag from an OK-78 waxed January 23, 1925. Black Rag was written by William Ridgely, who played trombone in the band, and was preceded by Oscar Celestine's own composition, Dear Almanzor. That was Oscar Celestine's original Tuxedo Jazz Orchestra recording in New Orleans on April 11, 1927. We began our tribute to Oscar Celestine with Station Calls, written by John Marrero, who played banjo in the band. That's from a Columbia 78 recorded on April 13, 1926. I'm Glenn Robison, and the show is Rapidly Rotating Records. We're here each and every Sunday evening at 6 on KISL Avalon, Wellsford Radio 107.7 in New Zealand, and available on demand anytime at all online at rapidlyrotatingrecords.com. Last week, January 7th, marked the birth in 1899 in Mozambique of Albert Alec Boley. His father was Greek, his mother Lebanese, and he grew up in Johannesburg, South Africa. He studied banjo and guitar and joined Edgar Adler's band in 1923 and toured South Africa and India before moving to Calcutta and Singapore as featured vocalist with Jimmy Lakim's band. His recording career began in Berlin, Germany in 1927 with various groups including Arthur Briggs' Savoy Syncopators, George Carhart's New Yorkers, and Fred Bird's Ceylon Symphonic Jazz Band. Boley arrived in London in 1928 and worked with Fred Alisalde at the Savoy Hotel. Between 1930 and 33, he recorded nearly 700 songs, the most notable being with Ray Noble's New Mayfair Dance Orchestra and the Roy Fox Band. He sang with Fox at the Monsignor Restaurant and stayed with the band after it was taken over by Lou Stone. In 1934, Al went to the U.S. with Noble, playing New York's Rainbow Room and recording for Victor. He also had his own NBC radio series and appeared in the big broadcast of 1936, where he sang Ray Noble's composition, Goodnight, Sweetheart. He returned to England in 1936 and formed his own Radio City Rhythm Makers. He also worked with the bands of Maurice Winnick, Sid Lipton, Giraldo, Ken Snake Hips Johnson, and others, and teamed up with singer Jimmy Messini in a stage act called the Radio Stars with Two Guitars. Al Boley died when a German bomb exploded outside his London apartment on April 17, 1941. Here's Al Boley.
As I look at you, a thought goes through my mind. What a marvelous find you'd make upon the screen. I am proud that I have you right by my side, but I'd be satisfied to lend you to the people to be seen. You ought to be in pictures, you're wonderful to see. You ought to be in pictures, how beautiful you would be. Your voice would thrill a nation, your face would be adored. Why, you'd make a great sensation, with wealth and fame your reward. And if you should kiss the way you kiss when we are all alone, you'd make every girl and man a fan worshipping at your throne. You ought to shine as brightly as Jupiter and Mars. You ought to be in pictures, my star of stars. You're lovely as a Crawford, like Davis, you're a gay. You surely should be offered a big starring part right away. You're sweet as a gainer, and you're as hot as the gal named West. You'd make even Gabo jealous if you took a movie test. You ought to dress like Colbert and ride in big motor cars. You ought to be in pictures, my star of stars. You're as handsome as a gable and healthy
as meek. You surely should be able to photograph like Richard Meeks. You surely should sing like Bing in a way that is nonchalant. You've got more than Barrymore, and what more could a person want? You ought to dress like Power and ride in sporty cars. You ought to be in pictures, my star of stars.
Is new, and in the evening they'll be bringing a song from me to you. The setting sun that's making a bed of gold upon the blue can't say goodnight until it's taken a kiss from me to you. Love words I'm not able to whisper in your ears. All this world I labor, faithfully yours, my dear. At night when we're apart, love, you'll get a rose that's wrapped in you. And deep inside you'll find my heart, love, a gift from me.
Just a bowl of cherries, don't be so serious, life's too mysterious. You work, you say, you worry so, but you can't take your dough when you go, go, go. So keep repeating, it's a berry, the strongest oak must fall. The sweet things in life, to you were just loan, so how can you lose what you've never owned? Life is just a bowl of cherries, so live and laugh at it all. Thank you.
We just heard Al Boley backed by three different bands. We heard Al and Ray Noble and his orchestra in 1934 and You Ought to Be in Pictures, composed by Dana Seuss with the lyrics by Edward Heyman. Next, with Lou Stone and the Monsignor Band, we heard From Me to You, also from 1934. We finished up our tribute to Al Boley with Al and the Roy Fox Band and Life is Just a Bowl of Cherries, recorded in London on November 5, 1931. Life is Just a Bowl of Cherries is from George White's Scandals and was written by Ray Henderson and Lou Brown. It's time now for that feature of the program we call This Week in Recording History. So-called because it's here where we play rapidly rotating records celebrating birthdays, having been recorded this past week in years past. Here to start off this edition of This Week in Recording History are the Clevelanders.
Thank you. sunshine. Funny how the skies turn blue. Funny it all comes at one time. Funny, dear, what love can do. Everybody chases rainbows, looking for a bluebird blue. Most of us in time find rainbows. Funny, dear, what love can do. Yesterday was a day cold as in November, but today turned to May with a sweet surrender. Funny how my dream of heaven proved to me that dreams come true. When you're in my arms, it's heaven. Funny, dear, what love can do.
We begin this edition of This Week in Recording History with the Clevelanders and Lucky Me, Lovable You from January 3, 1930. Lucky Me, Lovable You was written by Jack Yellen and Milton Ager and was followed by Fletcher Henderson and his orchestra and I Want Somebody to Cheer Me Up. That Vocalion 78 was waxed January 6, 1926. We finished up with Ben Selvin and his orchestra with an unknown vocalist on Funny Dear, What Love Can Do, recorded exactly 77 years ago this very day. Funny Dear, What Love Can Do was written by Charlie Strait, Joe Bennett, and George A. Little. I'm Glenn Robison, and I'm very pleased that you've chosen to spend this past hour listening to Rapidly Rotating Records. I hope you'll click in or tune in again next week and every week for more rapidly rotating 78 RPM records of the 1920s and 30s, and music to which you can't not tap your toes. Thank you for your very kind attention.